My name is Sune, and I am going to talk about shared libraries in Debian. The plan for today is first a bit about me, then kind of a calibration of the audience, making sure that we all know what I'm talking about. A bit about automatic dependencies and shared libraries and symbols and how to handle server version changes and a bit of stupidities and last questions. So that is what is going to go on here for the next 40 minutes or so. I am a Debian developer for some years. I co-maintain a couple of small libraries like Qt and kdlibs. I work as a software developer, mostly... Whoa, where's the rest of my... Oh well, I'm hoping that the rest of my slides isn't using the last two columns. I mostly do C++ and Qt. Not C as it says here, but the plus plus is gone. And I study business and IT. First, a bit of who are you? How many of you is Debian-ish distribution people? Okay, and distribution people from other distros? A couple. And how many of you is library upstream people? A couple. And then the rest of you is just... first of all, a bit of terms. As most of you is Debian people, this is going to be quite quick. We all know what a package is. Dependencies is basically what you require to have in the have available when the program is installed. In Debian, it's called depends, and in RPM world, it is apparently called requires. Somebody told me. I'm also going to use the term reverse dependencies, which is packages that depend on your library. Like most compiled things depend on libc. So most compiled applications are libc reverse dependency. Build dependencies is packages that is to be installed in the build environment. I'm told it's called build requires in the RPM world. Shared libraries, it's, well, there is two types. There's those that you primarily deal open, often called plugins, and then there is those that you link against. I'm mostly talking about the kind of library that you link against. Simples is methods in your library. They have a signature that applications using the library is looking for. In a library, they normally have a show name, which is some metadata string encoded in the library that basically tells I am this library of this and this version. As in this version of the binary interface. And a needed entry is applications and libraries using other libraries is having a needed entry for different show names in other libraries that they need. Those can be found with a tool called Object Dump, which is part of binutils. For libqt core, its show name is libqt core so.4, which is outside of the margin apparently. And libcute core needs pthread and zlib and libdl and many others. There were like 1.5 page of those. A bit about Debian. I guess I will mostly skip this packages, put it up unstable, and then after some time they migrate to testing. And the criteria for going from unstable to testing is a package is 10 days old and it's built on all architectures that they previously are built on. That doesn't add new release critical bugs to testing. Release critical bugs is bugs with a specific severity. They are defined as release critical. And it doesn't increase the uninstallability count in testing. These can be overridden, and it is mostly automatic, except sometimes when package A and package B need to enter at the same time, the automatic tools can't always do that properly. So that needs a bit of help. So, on to the actual topic. If I can... I'm using that last couple of letters quite much in my slides. It is supposed to say libfoo.so.x goes in a package called libfoo.x, so that the x is the same for both. And development files normally goes in a unversioned libfoo development package. In most cases, in some cases you might want to support the same library, the same library in different versions at the same time. Then you can't have two libfoo devs with different content. And then there is some support files that often go in some libfoo common or libfoo data, or depending on what kind of support files it is. Some libraries has plugins that might go in some plugin package, or if it's just a set of icons, it might be a data package. They are just like the development package, mostly unversioned. When you want to use a library, then your package needs to get the right dependencies on the library. We are having in Debian some automatic dependency handling, and I believe they have something similar at least in the Red Hat based distributions. Basically following the needed tags and getting the library that matches it. In Debian, to find the library that matches it, we are basically maintaining a file inside each library package, which says, like, here, if you have libcute core version 4, then the dependency should be added like libcute core 4, which is the package name containing libcute core in version at least 4:460. If you link against this specific version, you can either maintain the shlibs files manually in your packages, or you can use various helper tools to generate them. The most used is the dep helper make shlib command, which is basically used like this. And for these shlibs files, when the library comes with a new symbol, the the version in the shlips file needs to be increased to match the latest version that produced new symbols. And that is even if the symbol is only used in very corner case situations. And shlips files can also be used or maybe misused for other needs, like all things linking against libkde UI of version 5 needs to have added a dependency on kde libs 5, which contains libkde UI, and add a dependency on the binary package called kde based runtime. Or in the libgpod example, there is two versions of the libgpod. One is built with GTK support and one without it. And in most cases, they can be interchanged. So all packages should be able to have an OAuth dependency. Yeah.
What is the advantages of having a KDE-based runtime on the shlibs file instead of it being a reverse dependency of KDE-libs 5?
In this case, when you the KDE-libs source package builds a couple of packages, and all KDE packages can expect. All KDE applications can expect that the KDE libraries is around and that the various binaries in the KDE base runtime, which is coming from a separate source package, is around. So when you link again, when you use this libkde UI, you are also, as application developer, able to expect that the content of KDE base runtime is available. And by adding it this way, we as KDE maintainers can ensure that all packages using KDE libs also has a dependency on KDE based runtime. There is a new thing about a simple tracking, where we are. Tracking that if simple A entered in version 2.6, then you, as the only new symbol, and your package is not using this simple A, then you will only get a dependency on the previous version. This makes less strict dependencies. And it also helps migrating to testing, because when there is a new version of lib something that adds a new additional API that no one is yet using, with the shlibs file approach, all packages would have a dependency on the super duper new version with the features that they don't actually use. So with simple tracking and simple files, you can basically tell that these symbols in these libraries needs this version of the library. And it makes many things easier, and you can even install some packages from Debian Unstable on Debian Stable or Debian Unstable or Debian Old Stable without actually pulling in a new libc, because many of the new libc symbols is in many cases a bit exotic. A couple of nice side effects is that this simple tracking can help telling you that, oh, you linked against these libraries, but you are not actually using any symbols from them. This must be something that you preferably should fix, because there's no need to pull in libraries that you don't actually need. And it can also tell, these and these and these symbols are you using, but you're not linking against anything that actually provides these symbols. About symbol tracking, C++ is symbols is mangled because in C++, as opposed to C, you can overload the same method name with different parameters. So a symbol is in C is just the name of the function. In C++, it is the class name and the name of the function and the different types that it takes in as arguments, mangled in some partly unreadable way. This makes it a bit harder in some cases, but it can still be done. What is more difficult is that there might be different symbols across different architectures. Debian is supporting like more than 10 different architectures, and some symbols are not available on some architectures. That might be because they are giving direct access to some underlying things that isn't on that architecture. There is also, especially in various C++ things, type defs and weird types that differ per arc, per architecture. For example, size T, which is the size of a pointer. I didn't guarantee it to be the size of a pointer. And there is Qreal, which is a floating point thing much used in Qt, which is double on architectures where you expect to have a floating point unit, but just a float on architectures where you're not expecting to have a floating point unit. The simple mangling is after all these type defs are resolved. Modestas Vainius of Debian KDE team has done a lot of work in order to make it easier to write and maintain simple files for C++ things with all these weird architecture differences. So the next upload of Qt is the first one who is expecting to have simple files for all packages. A nice other side effect of this simple tracking is that you're actually noticing that now this package is missing a symbol which other packages might expect to use. Of course, except if the return type of a function is changed, which is kind of bad. The return type is not encoded in the symbol name. If a show version change of a library, in Debian we are changing the package name. I said it was called libfoo-x, and if x changes of the library, we change the package name. And I said most of the time we keep the development package unchanged. That means that we can automatically rebuild all the revert dependencies, because the development package, which is what you require in your build environment, is the same, and the API is the same. It's just some change to the binary version. When there is a surname change. The package name changes, and that means that the old package is removed. So when the source package for libfoo needs to migrate to testing, it needs to wait for all its reverse dependencies to be ready. Ready as in those four things I mentioned earlier. Well, be old enough, build on all architectures, and no release critical bugs, and doesn't increase uninstallability count. And because of not increase uninstallability count is why everything has to migrate together. Because the old libfoo 1 goes away and libfoo 2 is added, so everything that used libfoo 1 needs to be updated to use libfoo 2. Sometimes some upstreams are doing bad things, like breaking the API without changing the show version. When the API changes, all packages need to be rebuilt, because else they just won't work. So when that happens, the first step is yell upstream, because they should really not be doing this. For people who are compiling themselves, they would have weird issues starting the program when they are updating the version, and it's hard to track down what actually changes. And after you have yelled a bit of at upstream, then change the package name, like appending an A or something else, because this is, even though upstream are keeping the same versions, while they actually aren't the same binary reversion, we still need to do something. And if it is possible, change the show version without stepping on upstream's turf. It is kind of hard with some build systems, but it's easy with other build systems. If you're using libtool, it is quite hard to do a new number. Whereas in CMake, you can just append an A to the show version. And then yell at upstream a bit more, because you have to do these extra steps. It happens sometimes. There are quite some examples across the archive. Minor companies like Google has issues with this, and parts of KDE is also quite bad at doing this properly. So, to both of you upstreamers in here, it is okay to break the API, but only if you also change the show version. Any questions or comments or anything else?
As upstream, how can we help you to do that better?
Many upstreams of popular libraries luckily knows how to do this. It is basically making sure that don't change existing symbols. If you are doing C++, don't add new virtual methods. If you use a C++ library, use the private implementation approach, which in KDE often is referred as D pointers, for making sure that the class size stays the same. Basically, learn a bit about how binary compatibility works. The KDE TechBase wiki is having a quite good list of do's and don'ts in C++. And in In C, it's mostly about make sure that you keep your class size, the sizes of your structs and such the same, and don't change existing methods. It is okay to add new. That's more than welcome.
In the Red Hat world, they have much finer grainer control on the libraries because they basically provide for every package the list of symbols in the library, and then they export this as provides of this package. And this gives you a fine grain control on the library because you don't have to take care about the version anymore, but only about the symbols that this library exports. Not as in Debian, when you have the versions, but you don't know the symbols inside, then you have to do this symbol checking when you build a package. Do you think that it's a good idea to have this finer control on the symbols?
For some things, it might be easier, but one thing that just a list of symbols can't handle is a change of return types. If you like have a function that used to return a string, now it's a void function. That kind of can lead into weird things. So you still have to follow up on what is actually going on. The simple tracking at package dependency resolving status is doing the library resolving at package installation is a different approach. I'm not sure that. It at least moves the figure out where the dependencies are from package building state to installation state. I'm not sure it is good or bad, but it's at least a different approach that also might work in most cases. Over there, some. Simple versioning is always a good idea. Simple versioning is basically a way to append simple at this version. Especially it helps in when libraries are using other libraries. And some of them changes their API. Then you might have the same library loaded in twice, but in different versions. If the simples aren't versioned, this can lead into weird crashes, as it is just using one of the available versions. Whereas with simple versioning, it is sure which of the simples are actually used. It is a different thing that this simple tracking in the dependency business, but it is still a very nice thing to do, and it is helping making sure that everything is okay. Any other? Oh, more from Fabio.
Oh, yeah. So you mentioned before that you do a lot of symbol tracking, checks against symbol to generate new versions and everything. Where are those automatic checks happening, and how does the developer get feedbacks on probably broken ABI or APIs, and what is the infrastructure behind those checks?
The checking is in your library package. The Debian maintainer includes a list of symbols and what versions they're from. communicate back to upstream that, oh, you did something bad here, is a manual process just like in any other case where the upstream is doing something that is bad. Was that what you are?
Basically, if I'm a package maintainer, I'm packaging my libraries and my applications on top of the libraries. Is there an automatic check that does all the symbol tracking for me, or do I need to do it manually?
There is various tools that can help you generate symbol tracking files and update them.
Okay, so there is no automatic check on the BLDs, for instance, if something slips in by mistake or...
No.
Is there any plan to implement that?
Not that I know of. No form of automatic rejecting packages that breaks the API. No, not...
No, automatic rejection, no, but automatic checks. And then, warn or kill the maintainer, or kill the upstream kind of escalation.
I don't think there is any current plans to do that. Oh, well, there have been a couple of plans, but they are still at well, let's do that one day.
That's the flame war level in Debian kind of thing. Just kidding,
So, no more? Well then, thanks for attending.